Have you ever felt like you're just going through the motions, watching your own life from the sidelines? That restless sense that something's missing, that life should mean more, but somehow doesn't? You're not alone. Research shows that people with an external locus of control, those who believe outside forces determine their fate, experience higher rates of anxiety, depression, lower wages, and troubled relationships. Meanwhile, those who believe they control their destiny report stronger belonging, less depression, higher wages, and more fulfilling lives. The difference isn't circumstance, it's mindset. We're all living a story, whether we realize it or not. The only question is, are you writing it, or is it writing you? Every story has four character types, and you embody all four in your life. The victim believes fate controls their ending, using phrases like, I can't, or why me? They see obstacles as permanent walls, staying in unfulfilling jobs because that's just how life is. The villain also carries pain, but responds by diminishing others to feel bigger. They're the office bully, the controlling partner, the guilt-manipulating parent. Their unhealed wounds project pain onto others. Both victims and villains remain stuck, bit players in their own stories. Heroes accept challenges and transform through them. They're not fearless. They feel fear, but act anyway, enrolling in that class or changing careers. You'll vacillate between victim, villain, and hero energies, but gradually, heroic responses reshape your story. The strongest character is the guide. Guides have walked the hero's path and emerged with wisdom, turning wounds into lessons. They provide tools and emotional support, transforming pain into purpose. When you shift from victim to hero to guide, you don't just change your story, you help others change theirs. Viktor Frankl embodied agency. When Nazis captured him, murdering his family and seizing his manuscript, he refused victimhood. Instead, he mentally rewrote his work in the concentration camp, believing their stories would expose evil. His book, Man's Search for Meaning, later sold 16 million copies, teaching millions that we choose to believe life has meaning. Agency isn't controlling everything. Weather, other people, your birth circumstances remain beyond reach. But happy people understand we possess tremendous personal agency, and our reactions dramatically affect our story's outcome. When you realize this, everything shifts. You stop waiting for permission and start deciding. Meaning isn't something you think about, it's something you feel in motion. Frankl proposed a pragmatic formula: create work or perform a deed, experience something captivating that pulls you beyond yourself, maintain an optimistic attitude toward inevitable challenges. Consider a cross-country bicycle journey. It contains all three. You have specific ambition, experience beauty beyond yourself, and embrace purposeful pain. But meaning doesn't automatically persist. When any element disappears, you return to the existential vacuum. The revelation? You can deliberately create meaning anytime by engaging these elements. Many intellectually believe life has meaning, but don't experience it because they haven't set out on a story. Meaning requires action, not contemplation. Heroes need specific desires to begin their story. Vague wants, like fulfillment, create directionless narratives. Defined goals, running a marathon, starting a business, buying a farm, provide the narrative question that drives engagement. Without specific desires, you drift like a twig on water. Some avoid wanting things, fearing desire leads to destruction. But all human advancement, written language, schools, the economy, the wheel, exists because someone wanted something better. Progress happens when our wants benefit ourselves and others. Starting a business to help small businesses while overcoming personal insecurities, those mixed motives can create jobs, provide for family, and help other entrepreneurs. Focus your wants like a film editor leaving scenes on the cutting room floor. Heroes make choices, accepting painful compromises. A theme, a controlling idea, filters your life choices. Perhaps it's paving a path for deep meaning, learning a craft, or leveraging experience for others' benefit. This controlling idea determines what to pursue and what to release. Death gives our lives urgency and meaning. Writing your eulogy isn't morbid. It's centering and inspirational, creating a filter for better decisions. Instead of finishing another documentary, you might choose to continue writing because you want your eulogy to say you were someone whose words built worlds. Storytellers use ticking clocks to create drama. Without deadlines, stories become boring. Your eulogy creates this same urgency in real life. Keep it as a rough draft that evolves over time, not a fixed document. Make it short enough to review during your morning ritual, ambitious but realistic to create narrative traction. The purpose isn't prediction, but direction, creating a North Star that prevents wandering off path. When incarcerated youth in California detention centers wrote their eulogies, they focused on being good parents, faithful spouses, and successful entrepreneurs who made it out of the streets. Your eulogy becomes a decision-making framework, a reminder of who you want to become. A eulogy establishes direction, but without practical steps, that vision remains distant. Break down your life story into manageable chapters through 10-year, 5-year, and 1-year vision worksheets. Great storytelling isn't about addition, but subtraction, knowing what to leave out. Just as movies lose viewers by following too many characters, you lose focus attending irrelevant meetings or taking on projects merely to please others. Vision alone won't transform you. You need a daily 15-minute ritual creating extreme clarity. Review your eulogy for narrative traction. Review your vision worksheets to remember what you've decided your life will be about. Review your goals, limited to 3, to clarify major projects. Then determine your primary tasks for the day, the significant projects aligning with your eulogy and long-term vision. Practice gratitude to fend off victim and villain mentalities. By practicing gratitude each morning, you transition into the hero role. Living a good story isn't like reading one, it's like writing one, requiring the disciplined habit of consistent work. The most evolved role isn't the hero, it's the guide. Guides possess competence gained through experience, seasoned by life's challenges. They've walked the path, gained wisdom through failures, and kept going. Consider someone who moved their family into Atlanta's most dangerous neighborhood to help trafficking victims and gang members. When asked how they justified the risk, they explained that leaving a legacy of courage might cost their life, but would serve as an example of bold love. Your story has moral weight that affects those around you. While you can't control how others perceive you, you can give love, security, and examples to follow, inviting others to live meaningfully despite life's difficulties. Leaving victimhood behind is like dropping a bag of rocks. The freedom that comes from accepting your agency transforms not only your life, but the lives of those around you. You're not just a character in someone else's narrative anymore. You're the author, the protagonist, and eventually the guide who helps others write their own stories.